to C3 Practice. We're so glad you jumped on to our YouTube channel. We really believe that you'll have life. Jesus said life in all of its fullness will be yours. And that means you'll be loved, included, free, and equipped. So enjoy this message and we'll catch you afterwards. God bless.
I love it. Well, let's shift gears today. It is a beautiful day, isn't it? I mean, it is. It is a beautiful day. And I want to talk about a beautiful day. And I want to talk about, in June, of course, we're looking at good practices for your soul. Four S words. Things like stillness last week. Today we're talking about Sabbath. We're talking about simplicity. And we're talking about the whole idea of solitude and silence. Now, in the Sabbath deal, Sabbath is one of those words that just create a little bit of insecurity. Like, what is that? Like, it's an old word. It's a Hebrew word. Like, what does it mean for today? Is it just an Old Testament thing? You know, I've tried a bit of day off. What does it mean? You know, are we Jews? Do we do that? Is it, how does it work? And I'm sure that people in here have got it sorted, but I tell you, I've got it sorted. I've had it sorted for years. You know, for me, it was Saturday, because I work a couple of jobs and, you know, Sunday is not always restful. So I thought, right, let's do Saturday. So I allowed myself a sleep in to about 7 o'clock in the morning. And then I get up because the kids have got sport. And, you know, four kids, four different sports, four different places. And so we'd gear ourselves up for the day. But before I did that, of course, I'd grab a coffee and glance at the papers. I'm old school. I like getting the newspaper delivered. So I'd sit at breakfast, luxuriating, relaxing for at least 10 minutes over the newspapers with a coffee while the kids are finding their rugby boots, their cricket kit and whatever else they find. And then 8:30, right, it's on. Let's go. This is my day off. Let's go. Let's go, kids. Bundle them into two different cars, two different directions, find our space, drop them off. Whew. Lucky they have to be there early so you can sort of go and find a coffee, another coffee. And then hit Bunnings for a bit because I know I've got some projects to do later on. So if I can multitask and do Bunnings on the way, and then I don't have to kind of drop back in after the kids' sport. Find Bunnings, and Bunnings is relaxing, right? I always know where to find aisle 7. So I find my staff, I get there. Then I go and sit and watch one of the kids play sport. Go get. While I'm reading and, you know, masking, talking to people on the phone. Trying to chat with the people around me, of course, because it's good evangelism on the side of the sports field. And then I'm feeling great. I come home for lunch, quickly cook some sausages because it's Saturday. We've got to make it special, you know. So grab the barbie, cook some sausages, get some tomato sauce. And then, right, kids, we're going to mow the lawns. It's lawn mowing time. It's Saturday. It's rest work day. It's Sabbath, so let's get out there. I'll get the whippersnapper going. Kids are taking their turns on the mower, get some chainsaw out, lop a few limbs, depending on the season, of course, you know. Cut some firewood, store things up, then attempt, you know, another job or two because there's always something to do. For some reason, I bought a weatherboard house. There's always something to paint. My shed underneath always needs cleaning out. So I'm doing all this. And then by the time it's dark, Rose graciously cooked dinner. And I'm sitting at dinner time fully engaged in what's going on in my head, not the family around me, because, of course, it's church tomorrow. Of course, I'm preaching. Of course, my message is entirely sorted. So I'm sitting there thinking, finally, Ro puts me out of my misery and says, hey, why don't you go to the office? You know, family would be a lot more restful if you weren't here. So why don't you go and sort it out in the office and get everything ready? I'm kind of rehashing things and redoing things and annoying the media team and just getting generally ready for tomorrow, wondering if anyone will turn up anyway, completely relax. How's that for a day off? Yes. I kid you not, for at least a decade, that's what I did. Saturday. And I'd boast about it. People would ask me, so, Jeff, when do you have a day off? Oh, Saturday. Because it's a non-paid day. rest day. It's a, you know, it's a day where I don't work. You know, and I include Friday night, 24 hours, you know, Friday night into Saturday. Completely rested. It's a wonder I'm still standing. Praise God. He's gracious. Eugene Peterson calls that, excuse the French, a bastard Sabbath. I don't know about you, but I never got it. I grew up in a church family. We never really got it either. There's always work to do, isn't there? There's always something to do. There's always something eating away. Oh, I've got to do it. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And those non-work days become illegitimate Sabbaths because we don't allow ourselves the real thing. And wonder why inside our heart is filled with anxiety and filled with adrenaline and filled with a lack of peace, a lack of restedness, a dryness. And we look at the Bible and we go, yeah, but that was then. Like, I tell you, since then, you'll be pleased to know, I've actually sorted it. And I look back and think, why was I so anxious? Why was I so rushed? Why was I so anxious, you know, with the kids? Why did little things bother me so quickly? Why was there so little grace in my life? Why was there so much adrenaline flying around? I put it down to having a young family, and who knows, that's stressful, you know. Who knows that little kids don't give you a day off? But then I realized there's so much teaching, so much broader wisdom in the wider church. And somehow the Protestant work ethic has woven its way in an unhealthy fashion. And there's a rich, deep well. We think that anything pre-Reformation was evil. But actually, there's so much good. So many thinkers over the history of the church, over the 2,000 years. I want to share a few little things with that. Rick Warren says this. Rick Warren is a man who's modeled this well. Rick Warren, after I think 40 years, is about to step down from very, very successful ministry without too many scandals. Amazing man. And this is part of his advice. He says to avoid burnout, divert daily, withdraw weekly, abandon annually. I like that. Divert daily, something that relaxes us every day. Withdraw weekly, a Sabbath. And abandon annually, that's a holiday. It's going somewhere. It's getting away. Disconnect completely. This is not just for pastors or ministry people. This is everybody. We all need that. Anyone? Could this help you? Are you like I was? Oh, how I could unwind the clock and go back. How would I do it differently? But maybe you can. Could it be that our world just needs a good rest? Could it be that COVID was just a big Jubilee Sabbath? That God said, shh, stop. Too many planes. Too much craziness. Just stop and be at home for a while. Could it be that the world itself is in the rhythm that's disconnected from what it should be? Autumn, winter, spring, summer, day, night, sleep, rest, leaves that fall off a tree, animals that sleep. Have we missed something? I want to picture an ideal day. Could it be a day to appreciate the small and seemingly insignificant but so important things in your world? People around you. Could it be a day to slow down? Could it be a day to enjoy the things we work so hard for? A day to be present to God and to others. Permission to stop. You are allowed to stop. It's a beautiful day. Don't let it get away, a poet once said. I want to explore two things. I want to just look at the biblical understanding of the Sabbath, and then look at how we can actually make it work today. And we're going to end with communion, a time of just connecting with God over that meal, that rest that He gives us. You ready? All right. Three key scriptures. There's heaps. But let's go back to the beginning. This is the example. This is what God showed us in the scriptures. Right back in Genesis 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all of the host. So God made everything, right? Absolutely made everything from nothing. And He finished it. On the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work which He had done in creation. Such a rich passage. So God was tired, wasn't He? No. Does God get tired and grow weary? Scriptures say no. So why was He resting? Was He exhausted? Oh, man, that was so much creating. Oh, man, I'm going to sleep in this morning. No, God doesn't grow tired or weary. So what's He doing? Enjoying His creation? Man, look at that mountain. Look at Everest. Oh, yes. Look at the Grand Canyon. Man, oh, high five, Jesus. You know, like, what was He doing? Just enjoying. Look, and look at these people. Like, they're going to drive us nuts, but these are people. These are the finest part of our creation. I know that inside of them, they're gonna have fun. But wow, we did it. We've been dreaming of this for billions of years. Now we've done it. Let's just pause and enjoy the work of creation. Ever thought about that? God sat back and stopped. It's the example right at the beginning of the Bible. He finished His work. I love this. In verse 2, it says, on the seventh day, God finished His work. You see that? How did He finish His work? By resting. Like, your work is not finished until you rest, until you stop. Like, done. Now, I'd love to work in a job, like mowing lawns or something. Because you can turn around and go, done. You might have a job like that where you kind of do something and it's done and you can walk away. I've never had a job like that. There's always something else, always something more. And maybe it's not like that. I know the lawns grow back. And, you know, but like that status, like a house painter, how awesome would that be? I painted a house. Done. It's that kind of thing. Sit back and enjoy. A builder, oh, I'd love to be a builder. Build it, done. No, I'd be a terrible builder. Sorry, Brad, you know that. I'd be terrible. But that sense of satisfaction of completing something, oh, I'd love that. Every vocation I end up in is just never ending. But God stopped and enjoyed, and that was the work of finishing. What about you? What have you finished or at least paused and go, man, look what happened last week. Yeah, that was good. God rested on Sabbath as an example for us. It's not created for God's benefit, but He stopped and rested. Okay, that's the example that God gives. The second is the instruction, okay? God doesn't ask us to do things that He doesn't do. First is the example. Second is the instruction. He says this in Exodus 20, part of the Ten Commandments. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, separate, sacred, he says. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath. That word means simply to stop. A Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea, all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I want you to think for a moment. What God stops his people? In the ancient world, the gods created people so they could serve the gods, right? So they made people so that the gods didn't have to do anything. So the people work hard. The culture to this day worked 7 days a week, slaving away for the gods that were peering down on them. But this God, the God of the Hebrews, says, actually, I care about your welfare, I'm concerned about you. You need to stop. What God does that? Our God. And so he instructs his people and sets up a whole system in the Jewish law around Sabbath. And it's an elaborate system. And it's one for the whole family and the whole people. The whole society should just stop and rest. I wonder if our society could learn a thing or two right now about that. In a 24/7, 7 days a week cycle. I wonder if we just gearing up again after COVID. Just now we've got lost time to make up, don't we? So we've got to work harder and harder and harder. And no wonder inflation's spiraling and job shortages, you know. We're in interesting times, but maybe, I wonder if we just learnt the lesson of the stop, would we be better? But then we have the execution, right? The example in Genesis, the instruction in Exodus, but what does it look like? Because actually the Jewish people kind of made it pretty legalistic and pretty awful. And so by the time Jesus arrives on the scene, there's rules for everything. There's hundreds of rules of what you should or particularly shouldn't do on the Sabbath. You're right. We all have a meltdown. You know, there's so many things, and Jesus arrives and there's these people. When Jesus goes to heal somebody on a Sabbath, like, it's work. And so they're frowning on Jesus. In fact, they're watching him. I wonder, is he going to heal someone on a Sabbath? Gotcha, Jesus, you haven't understood. They've got it all wrong. They've legalized it and made lots of little rules so that you can't even pick up a stick. You can't do anything because you have to have the Sabbath. So we've gone to the other extreme. And Jesus comes. It's one of the things he just really butts heads with the Jewish leaders about is this whole idea of the Sabbath. Here's an example in Mark 2:23. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain, right? So it's Saturday, the Jewish stop day. Disciples hanging out, going through the fields, and just as a snack, they're just picking off some of the grain, you know, snacking away. Oh, can't do that. Can't do that on the Sabbath. The Pharisees, verse 24, were saying to him, look, why are they doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath? Who said it wasn't lawful? The Jewish leaders had made all kinds of laws to try and interpret Exodus into that law. And so they had this list of laws. He said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him? That example is actually not even on a Sabbath. The point is that let's be kind to people in need. Let's be generous to people. Don't let your legalistic rules stop you from being kind and doing the things that you should be doing. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, for people, not man for the Sabbath. And so the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath.
the Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath. Hang on a sec. Hang on, I'll come back. Because the point there, we think we've got to serve this day off. No. The day off is serving us. You see? The day off, the Sabbath, is actually for our benefit. It's actually for our goodness. It's actually supposed to be the best day of the week. It's like having a birthday every week. And it would help us. You okay? I'll come back. Okay. So what could it look like? So there's the extremes, right? There's the 24/7, our modern world, internet shopping, doing everything, working, never resting.
There's the legal. You can't do anything on a Sabbath.
Where do we go with that? As Christians, not Jews? As people living in the 21st century in Bathurst, 2020? What do we do with that? How do we actually sensibly make it work so that it's actually going to be a blessing to us? Well, here you go. Here's what I've thought about long and hard and put into place for our family. Am I happy? Mostly. Am I still on a journey? You bet. Do things get interrupted? All the time. Do my plans always work out? No. Year to year, things change. But when we first started this, we said, right, we are going to make this work. Even on a Sunday, which is curious, I know. Hold it. I actually like church. I actually like being here. And, you know, it's actually not that hard for me. And so for me to be gathering together is actually part of my Sabbath. I really enjoy it. Even if I'm just playing a bit of music or it's actually, in a curious way, rest. For some people, this could be very stressful or hard. And so we had this beautiful day where we actually have breakfast together. Like croissants, Nutella, you know, like fun stuff, good coffee. Whereas before, I'd be fasting Sunday mornings. And then just enjoy the day with some people. Worship together. And then after church, nothing. Permission to stop. In the winter, put a fire on at night. We've got an open fire at our house. Summer, hang outside and barbecue, whatever. But just stop. Nighttime, watch a bit of TV together, a series. Sometimes someone around for dinner that's, you know, fun and just. But the whole point was a day that we look forward to. We'd actually plan a special meal together, like buy some good quality food, nice bottle of red, and just enjoy the day. We even had one of our kids doing the HSC in the middle of this. He didn't do any work on Sunday and did pretty well, even in the HSC, even in the middle of exams. Bold, huh? Here's what I've worked out. It's sweet. Sweet. S-W-E-E-T. Sweet. A sweet day. You want to plan a sweet day? Here's some thoughts. Get creative. Number one, S, stop. Stop. That's what God did. He stopped. That's what Sabbath means, to cease. Stop. And on the seventh day, Genesis 2:2, God finished his work that he had done and he rested. Cease from work for 24 hours. Can you do that? So what's your regular income earning job? Can you find 24 hours in the week to stop? If it's a Sunday, it works really well. I get it. The shift work, there's all kinds of things that happen and people need to work and our world needs to function. So don't beat yourself up if you have to work on a Sunday. But find another day. Find another day. Maybe it's Saturday. Maybe it's a Friday. Stop. Stop. Stop from your work activity and your non-paid work activity. Housework, garden work, all that stuff kids kind of still need to be looked after. But that's just life, seasons of life. You won't always have little kids if you're in that stage. It does move. Stop. Sweet day. Stop. W. Worship. This is not just a day off. It's a holy day off. So, in Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So worship is a great way to keep it holy. We are giving this day to God as well as for our rest. And so in worship, find time to worship alone and together. Find some space alone with God, just to be, not, oh, I've got my Bible plan, I've got to read this, and I've missed it all this week, so I'm going to spend today catching up. What if you just had half an hour just to sit with God, like we talked about last week, just to be with God? Just be. I don't even need words. Just find your favorite chair, tree, window, bushwalk, whatever place that just allows you to be. If you've got young kids, just try and carve out half a day, get some help in. Half an hour, sorry. Worship. Worship together as well. That's why Sundays work, because that's why we come together. Otherwise, you just get very isolated and individual. But if you can worship together, come worship together. S, stop. W, worship. E, enjoy. What do you enjoy? God enjoyed his creation. He looked back and says, man, that was awesome. He enjoyed it together. Imagine just building something into your day. What is that for you? Is it gardening? Enjoying gardening, not hard work gardening, but just being in the garden. Is it going somewhere? Is it a long drive in a nice car, a motorbike ride, a push bike? What is it for you? 10K run for some people would be enjoyable. Build something into your Sabbath that's enjoyable. Is it cooking? Is it baking? Cakes? Decorating things? Is it just finding a novel? A good, wholesome movie? What is it that you just go, what would you look forward to if you could write your day and build in half a day just to enjoy, just spend time enjoying it? Permission to enjoy. It sounds so countercultural, doesn't it? Because Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. You work hard. Buy stuff. Enjoy it. Stop. Worship. Enjoy. There's another E coming, my favorite. Eat. Eat. Come on. The Bible is full of feasting. Jesus was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard. Did you know that? He was forever eating with people, the wrong people. He was always found eating, usually together with friends. He just did life around the table. Plan a meal somewhere in there. Make it a special meal. You know, Ro actually budgets for this day. You know, as part of her weekly budget, she sets enough money aside. We might do it out here so that on the Sabbath, it's good at our place. You know, good cuts of meat or wine or dessert. And then to eat, plan some times, and then you can bring some close friends or family into that space. Not work friends and not colleagues, but just people you can chill with. Rest. Eat. And in Acts 20 is the example. On the first day of the week, they were gathered together to break bread. And Paul talked to them. You see, there's little comments all through the scriptures. On the first day, the Sabbath day, they were gathered together to break bread, to eat. So eat. Plan something fun. Plan something, if you've got kids, plan something kids will enjoy. Just make it a feast day. Lots of chocolate. Stop, worship, enjoy, eat together is the tea.
that verse in Deuteronomy talks about the Sabbath as the whole realm together, kids, your servants, your animals, together, together. Do it together. If you live alone, try and find some together time with somebody else. Come to church together at least. Find a space. Now that's not a rule-based system. It's a sweet day. It's some guidelines, some principles, some ideas that I see throughout the scriptures that'll really help you reform. And the benefit is not just mental health and wellness that we talk about so much these days but never talk about how to do it. It's actually good for the soul. You'll find that you'll restore your soul as you come beside still waters and green pastures. Cole, can I get the musos up? Here's my challenge for you as these musos come. We're going to have communion in a moment. Maybe if the guys could get that ready as well. Here's the challenge. What does that look like for you? What does it look like? What day of the week is this? You got to plan this. You can't just arrive at it and go, oh, that's right. No, plan it. If you can't see it this week, start it the following week. Set aside a Sunday, a Saturday, or Friday, or something that works for your schedule, for your work context primarily, maybe your family context. What is it? What does it look like for you? You will be blessed if you do it. You will find life in this. It really will transform you. It's transformed mine. Not so grumpy anymore at home. It'll really change it. Combined with all these other practices of spiritual health, this one is a real key because it's practical. Some of you are thinking, I can't afford the time. It's a bit like tithing Adam talked about. No, we can't afford to give 10%. But I tell you, it's a faith aspect of that. I can't afford a day. Goodness, how? Think about it. For some, it could be a sacrifice of a day. But we simply weren't designed to live 24/7, 7 days a week without rest. We simply weren't. We can push back against our culture. Push back against the demands, building something really healthy that just could change your world and your family. You can heal marriages. You can heal relationships with kids. Just hang on to the communion when you get there. It'll lead you into something. But what is that for you? What day? If you live with other people, start planning it today. Sweet. You stop, you worship, you enjoy, you eat together. You'll find life returning to your bodies, sleep returning, and joy returning, fullness returning. Nicole, do you mind just getting these guys to you? Let me pray. Holy Spirit. I'm praying for creative ideas. I'm praying for life to flow. I'm praying for joy to flow. I'm praying for freedom. I'm praying for really, really practical ways of implementing. I'm praying that we navigate the challenges. And I'm praying that we just get creative. And have a whole lot of fun together.
Hey, thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, or you can download our church app to keep up to date with what's going on. And of course, if you're in the Bathurst area, we'd love you to pop in and say hello.
Wonderful. See you soon.